Welcome on back to another episode of the Culinary Road Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Melnick, alongside Fred Mullins. Fred, great to see you. How you doing?
Good to see you. I think, folks, Chef is like seven Negronis in at this point, so the conversation could get really interesting.
That's like five less than normal, so.
Perfect. Anyway, great to catch up with you again, Chef.
Yes, likewise. So we got a great show today. We are progressing through season two nicely here, but one of the things that we discussed before going to season two was we're going to have some solo shows. We want to have some shows just you and me, some fun different topics and things like that.
Take a deeper dive maybe into like a subject or a few different subjects that are maybe related or not even related. But I think just give it a little more focus and kind of, really drill in and talk about like whatever the subject happens to be or subjects happen to be. I think it should be fun.
Yeah,
I mean, excited about what we're doing this week, to be honest.
Absolutely. But we have, the less guests that we have, the more that people get to listen to us, which is riveting for everybody.
Which is really why they're all here, let's be honest.
it'll be fun. We'll do a bunch of solo shows this season. And obviously, we'll mix in some guests here and there, like we have our first few episodes and everything. But we got a great show again today. We're going to get into our top three here in a second. What else we got? Our discussion coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk about
hot topic.
Yes, our hot topic is hot sauce. So we'll get into a little discussion about the history of hot sauce and kind of our favorites and all that stuff.
Yeah, their uses, maybe how to, you can try taking this on your own kind of thing. It's a pretty broad subject, and we just felt it was worth drilling into a little bit. I mean, if you open your fridge right now, folks, I guarantee you there's a hot sauce in there.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna name names, but I think I bet if I took three guesses, I would nail it. So throw that out there. So we felt like it was worth talking about. It's as ubiquitous and as ketchup, mayonnaise in the fridge, and it's something a lot of people don't talk too much about. And it's a growing, booming part of the food industry right now. It's just booming, kind of like craft beer. It feels like it's limitless at this point.
Definitely everywhere. Yeah. But before we get into our discussion on our hot topic, we're going to
go in a different direction.
Yes, we're going to go the opposite, right? We're going to do our top three cool things, right? We're going to do our top three favorite ice cream flavors.
Yep. And I have to throw this qualifier out there. Gelato and ice cream, we're going to treat them the same. I do like gelato better, but a really good ice cream is hard to beat. Splitting hairs, but those are the same. So, so everybody knows, that's the base.
Yeah, I think the technicalities between the difference of the two we'll get into in another show.
Yeah.
But for this discussion, top three ice cream, we're gonna keep them all.
Your flavors, whether it's childhood, new love, whatever, that's what we're talking about.
Sounds good. And all right. So this was your topic, so I'm picking first.
You get to go first because I threw this at you.
Yes, absolutely. And I would be surprised if we had too much crossover.
I'm really curious to see how this goes. I've got a list of nine just in case, although I probably didn't need that many, but the problem is I probably have too many. So I'm going to have to.
Right. So my list right now is literally three.
Oh, wow. You're confident.
But I have a lot in the background.
Okay.
So you might not know this. You might know it actually, but my first job ever was scooping ice cream in an ice cream stand.
I didn't know that. Of course I didn't know that. How would I know that? Do you know what my first job was?
We talked about it. It's not like we don't talk for an hour to each other every single week.
Do you know what my first job was?
Scooping ice cream?
Not scooping ice cream.
Got it. literally my first job was at Max Apples, which was...
You've mentioned that, but I didn't know what you did there.
It was scooping ice cream.
You guys were policing the people picking their own apples, like, hey, buddy, one bag.
Well, that was my older brothers did that, but actually my brother, Sean, was my boss.
Oh, God.
I was 14 years old. I won't get into my first day of work because that's a whole other story. And if any of my adult figures in my life listened, they probably wouldn't like to know that I was hungover throwing up in the break room on my first day of work.
Well, but, also different of time. Heard. Yep.
So there's a little bit of a history of scooping ice cream and, you know, the different ways to go about serving ice cream. But I remember back in these Max Apple days, my number one favorite flavor was Moose Tracks.
Okay, so help me out with that. I don't know if I know exactly the classic recipe.
So the classic is vanilla ice cream.
Yep.
With those little mini peanut butter cups, you know,
Okay,
like
so the
the.
tiny, but they're not necessarily
Yeah.
Reese's, but there's picture tiny Reese's peanut butter cups. Got
Yeah,
it.
exactly. And then fudge that's kind of
Like
sort of
swirled
melted
in.
into it, swirled into it. But it's a vanilla base. There's chocolate mousse tracks. There's all kinds of different. They have all kinds of
That's
different.
where I got confused. I didn't know. Like
Yeah, but
Rocky
it's it.
Road. Rocky Road's always, isn't Rocky Road always chocolate ice cream based?
Yeah, and then it's got marshmallow in it, and I think it
So
has
you can't
nuts in
really
it
do a
too, right?
vanilla Rocky Road, or can you in
Yeah, sure you
Colorado?
can. Why not? But I don't know what
Okay, I
they call
guess.
it.
All right.
Yeah,
So I wasn't sure if Moose Tracks was the same thing or not. Yeah.
there's some debates out there. If you actually Google
Oh, I bet
Moose
people.
Tracks versus Rocky Road, you're gonna have a whole
They're not
bunch of
the
different.
same thing. No, they're totally.
Not
There's
the same thing. They're
marshmallow in
totally
Rocky Road.
different. But
Yeah.
it'll come up. It'll be one of those things that comes up. But yeah, just that the classic vanilla ice cream. Those little peanut butter cups. I love those little peanut butter
Of course
cups.
you do.
Because then
Yes.
you just kind of like let it melt in your mouth, and all the ice cream's gone, and all you have left is that little peanut butter cup.
Oh, so you've got a method. It's kind of like eating an Oreo properly.
Oh
I
yeah.
got you.
Oh
Yeah.
yes, absolutely. So
So that's your favorite flavor.
number one pick. Not necessarily my favorite flavor, but it's my number one pick.
Okay, I got you. All right. My first favorite, and it's going to be very similar to yours, which is kind of funny. Baskin Robbins peanut butter chocolate ice cream.
Okay.
So it's actually chocolate ice cream with what I gotta think is actually the center of a Reese's peanut butter cup. It's not really peanut butter, it's too sugary. But my God, when I was a kid, I think one of my favorite memories of ice cream, I'm 6 or 7, I don't remember, but I got a triple scoop on a cone and it was just all the same flavor. And I think I got like halfway through the cone and I was already not feeling like I was kind of getting a stomach ache. Didn't slow me down. Did not slow me down. I just plowed right through it. Pretty sure I had chocolate ice cream all over my face, but man, it is this chocolate and peanut butter together, as you know, dynamite. But some of that for me is nostalgia because I played Little League football. Then we would go get ice cream afterwards. And that was kind of part of the whole thing. But I had it not that long ago and it's still just as good as I remember. Maybe it's a little sweeter than what I typically eat for ice cream, but
Sure.
got to hand it to them. It's a classic and it's really good. So mine is not necessarily my favorite flavor, but because of everything wrapped up in it, that's my number one pick.
All
And
right.
they're kind of related there. That's interesting. Did not see
Yes,
that.
absolutely. I mean that chocolate peanut butter combination, it doesn't
It
to me
is
it doesn't give, I
dynamite.
mean that's dessert. Like if I'm not a big sweets guy, but if you throw chocolate and peanut butter in front of
You're
me,
just doing
forget
it.
it. It's
Right
happening.
on.
It's happening. So that was your pick was I'm sort of listening to it and thinking, I might need to call in a reserve because it's my another one of my picks is very similar to that one, which is very similar to my Moose Tracks one. So I
This is
gotta
like your candy bar list. I swear to God, the
Right, so
candy
I get
bars
no.
are
I'm going
getting
off. I'm going off. I'm going off topic now. I'm not gonna
Okay.
pick.
All
I'm,
right.
I just. I just called in the reserves,
Right.
and I think one of my reserves is for sure on your top nine.
All right, here we go.
And I'm going with pistachio gelato. Yeah, I knew it. I
Oh,
had to go with the number
yeah.
two, and I knew you didn't pick a number one. I had to take a number two.
Was so close to being my number one.
Yeah, pistachio gelato. When
It's so hard to beat
when I've
that.
been in. We've talked about Giacomo and Federico,
Yep.
Emily's cousins in Emilia and Umbria. And anytime we went out for gelato, which was very frequently when you're in Italy, you just go out for gelato. It's kind of like what you do.
Yep.
I would always get the pistachio. Always. It's so good.
It is. It's so good.
But I mean, pistachio
So
ice
good.
cream that you get here is it doesn't compare.
Not the same thing.
Pistachio gelato at a true gelateria in Italy, it just in a little cup with the little wooden sort of spoon or whatever they serve it with. It just that's
It's so good.
it's the
If you have.
experience too. I mean, the flavor of the gelato is amazing, but the whole experience in general, it just brings you
Right.
back.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, people are going to think it should look green, and it may have a bit of a green hue to it, but it actually is a little more white or tan. And it is green, but when you get a good one, it's like you're eating fresh pistachios and there's just like sweet cream around it. You really taste the pistachios. The stuff that's bright green, you can find that, like the stuff from the 70s, it's not the same thing.
No, it's not.
If you
No.
haven't had good pistachio gelato, go get it, because if it's not your favorite, it probably will be now. It's that
Yeah.
good. I am so upset that that was your number two pick. It hurts my feelings. But that was a really, really good pick.
Yes, I'm surprised it was still
The nostalgia thing got me. So, yeah, that's on me. Yeah, I had my chance. I blew it.
You sure did. Absolutely. But I bet you got – I bet you can pick from your other seven picks that you had on there. So what do you
got? I can. So since we're going down that road, and I think this is the perfect time to pick it, and this was my alternate to number two, Stracciatella Gelato. So Stracciatella, for you folks who don't know, is it's going to sound a little weird, but follow me. It is like the curd of like fresh mozzarella that's been mixed into the base of the gelato. And then it typically has pieces of chocolate in it. You can say chocolate chips, but it's usually really good dark chocolate. And it's just, it doesn't sound like a combination that would work, but it's just like, it's more creamy than any of the creamiest ice cream you've ever had in your entire life. Mm. And then you get those little bites of chocolate that work as a foil. And gelato is a little denser on the palate and again, more creamy. It's just like more of a good thing. If they don't have pistachio, Stracciatella is my next pick.
So I've never had Stracciatella gelato before.
It seems kind of ubiquitous no matter where I've gone. That's a gelateria, but here over there in Italy, it always seems to be one of the options. Of course, Nutella is another one, which is also a good pick. Usually pistachio. Of course, there's a vanilla, a cioccolato, and I don't want to spoil the next pick. But yeah, those, I've always been able to find it. It's really good. I'm in Maine. It's a great place. And again, we don't get paid. But just a quick tip, Portland is a place called Gorgeous Gelato. He always has it. He usually sells out. So if you want to go, don't wait till the end of the day. It's amazing. I know it sounds a little strange, folks, but you want it. It's really, really good. I mean, really, really good. And even little kids would like it because basically it's like the best chocolate chip ice cream you could possibly make is really how you have to think of it.
Well, that doesn't sound like it sucks.
No. All I can say is God bless the Italians. So happy they're around.
Right. All right. So my third and final pick, I'm going to skip back over to this country.
Okay.
And when I worked at Max Apples in the ice cream stand, we got our ice cream from the farm, from this farm in Massachusetts called Richardson's, and they had black raspberry ice cream that I would put into a waffle cone with chocolate jimmies on top. So it's that chocolate,
that's really good.
Chocolate black raspberry, but from Richardson's. I mean, you can get great black raspberry ice cream all over the place, but that Richardson's farm black raspberry ice cream, but with the chocolate jimmies on there. In a waffle cone, number three.
That's a good one. Well, my number three was going to be black raspberry chocolate chip. It's pretty much what you just picked. So I'm going to go with, and it's not really a tough call, but.
Wait, let's talk about black raspberry and chocolate jimmies first.
What are jimmies? I know what they are, but explain. There's going to be people out there that have no idea what they're talking about. Then I'm going to tell you something funny, what Heather, where she comes from, my wife, what they call them, which I'd never heard of before. So play it on us. What are jimmies?
Right. So it's a regional thing, and it's more of a New England thing, because I remember going on a cross country trip when I was a kid. We went to get ice cream somewhere, and I said, I'll have chocolate jimmies on there. And they looked at me like I was a crazy person.
What the hell are you talking
like,
about?
Like, what? I'm like, never mind. I'll just have the ice cream.
Wait, where were you?
I forget. We were heading out west. I don't remember exactly where we were, but it was a trip to Yellowstone National Park. So it was
okay. Got you.
Yeah, it was somewhere between New Hampshire and Wyoming.
It's pretty specific.
That narrows it down. I don't actually remember where it was, but Jimmy's actually. So there's a couple different ideas of where the name originated, but it's basically chocolate sprinkles.
Yep.
But they.
That's what I call them, sprinkles.
Right. It's more of a Boston thing because of the Jimmy Fund, which is an organization in Boston.
I didn't know those were related.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly when it started, but a portion of all the proceeds of any sprinkles that they sold at an ice cream stand were sold would go towards the Jimmy Fund. So then eventually it sort of turned into, I'll have the, you know, the chocolate sprinkles for the Jimmy Fund turns into I'll have the Jimmies.
I learned something. I didn't know that. I had no idea those two were related.
And a lot of people don't, because a lot of people think that it's there's some sort of racism kind of things that are tied to it that people try to, if you Google it, there's some stories out there that have some race
I don't know. That sounds
to it, but it's funny because it actually goes to the opposite. It's actually spreading more, you know, more fundraising and more money towards the Jimmy Fund. If you don't know what the Jimmy Fund is, look it up, and it helps support kids that have medical issues and all that kinds of stuff. But that's where it all originated. Huh. So we had Rainbow Jimmies and Chocolate Jimmies.
But that's usually the two options, right?
Right. But then when you get out of the Boston area, you know, I grew up in New Hampshire, you know, lived in the Boston area for a long time. You get outside of there and you order Jimmy's and people look at you like, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, here. OK, the first time my wife and I went to Dairy Queen together, she went up there and she ordered a kitty cone, you know, just like vanilla soft serve kitty cone with rainbow shots.
Shots.
Yeah. And the kid behind the counter was like, what? And then she looked and she's like, oh, well, those. And he's like, sprinkles?
She called them shots. Where's she from?
She's from Connecticut, and they call them shots.
Rainbow shots. I've never heard that. I mean,
I haven't heard it before since.
But, I mean, is there a great charitable organization that the shot fund?
My answer.
It sounds like a college thing.
My answer is no. No. I don't know. It's sort of the hoagie grinder sub whole thing. Who knows?
Right.
I grew up in Florida. We called them sprinkles because that's what they are. They're sprinkles. But sure. The Jimmy thing changed my mind. I didn't know it came from the Jimmy Fund, which is a really good cause. So
yes,
I think I can force that one. But I usually don't get those anyway. So
only thank you for taking my
flavor, by the way, number three and number two.
And number two.
Number
one, too.
Yeah. And before we started this, you were like, oh, we're not going to have that much crossover. I'd be surprised. Yeah. And you've taken my two so far.
That's why I have, that's why I got the number one pick.
So the flavor, no problem. I'm curious, but I have to ask this. I'm going cookies and cream.
Okay.
But I'm specifically going with, and I think this counts, Dairy Queen Oreo Blizzard.
Sure, that counts. That's
because it's they don't add anything. They just basically kind of soften up the ice cream and throw the Oreos in. Oh my god, man, that's like,
yeah, you're not gonna get any kickback from me. It's fine.
Come on, that there is, in my opinion, there is no other Blizzard.
Probably a chocolate peanut butter one, but besides that, sure.
No, Oreo wins.
I mean, Reese's peanut butter Blizzard.
No, I didn't say it wasn't good. It's definitely not.
And I'm not. I think I've eaten maybe two Blizzards in my life, and I lived next to Dairy Queen for a year.
Well, you don't want to make a habit.
No.
Treat yourself occasionally. Yeah.
No, I get fat enough drinking beer. I don't need to eat ice cream too.
But that's my number three. It seemed anticlimactic, and I feel like my number two and my number three, the flavor profiles are really close together. But I'm totally cool with that. But
yeah,
the Blizzard's really soft, and you get the crunchy from the cookie. It's a nice little texture thing too, and I love Oreos so much, which I think we've talked about in a separate episode.
Yes,
I have a problem. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, it sounds like a solution, Fred.
Maybe it depends. Yeah.
All right, so that rounds out our top three. I just want to ask you a little bit about some toppings, though.
Toppings,
yeah, like what's your favorite
on the flavors you picked, or just
in general, like ice cream toppings, what, you know?
Okay, like if I'm just, you like vanilla, because I just feel
sure
base. That way you can play around with it. Peanut M&Ms, kind of fun. Does that count?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I'm a big fan for like chocolate sauce or hot fudge, but I feel like hot fudge, that's kind of the sundae thing, but it still works. But good chocolate sauce. I would put sprinkles on there, but they're pretty far down. Again, Dairy Queen has this thing called Crunch Coat, which I feel like is just like the center of a Butterfinger that they pulverized.
Yeah, or the,
that's what it tastes like to me.
Or like Heath Bar, right? Heath Bar.
Am I right? I can't put my finger on it. Yeah. That stuff is addictive.
It's really good. Nothing wrong with that.
And it kind of reminds me a little bit of like kids' cereal too, the way that it tastes. So there's something about that combo that works really well.
Right.
You know, one of my favorite things is actually, if I'm going classic, and I mentioned the chocolate or even the hot fudge, but salty peanuts and that together, when I said peanut M&M, but that more classic like peanut parfait kind of thing,
like a peanut brittle or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of racist. We're back to peanut butter and chocolate
again. Back to peanut butter and chocolate again. It always comes back to that, doesn't it?
I don't know, the gummy bears and things like that's just
nah,
not.
Nah, nah.
I don't do that. Yeah,
nah, I'm not that kind of. I mean, again, I'm not big into sweets, but definitely not that good. But my wife and daughters are all into that, you know, gummy worms and sour this and Sour Patch Kids and whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh.
On their own, they're fine. But yeah, I don't.
Nah, I don't even like them on their own.
Weird. It competes with the ice cream. No, it's not my thing.
Yeah. Or like the bubblegum flavor ice cream. Remember that when you were a kid? God, that was so terrible.
It was terrible. There is a reason it's you don't see it anymore.
I remember bubblegum inside the like the baseball hat, right?
Yep.
Yeah, like the baseball, like the helmet, the little plastic helmet. But I want to ask what your feeling on whipped cream is. I have whipped cream written down on my paper here.
On a Sunday, yes. Outside of that, no thanks. I like whipped cream a little bit, but not very much. Like even on like hot cocoa or hot chocolate, I don't, just a little bit. I'm funny about whipped cream.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not comfortable enough in my manlyhood. It makes me feel too effeminate. I don't know. And I'm, you know, the funny thing is I'm funny about meringue and they're kind of together. I don't know why, but I do like whipped cream, but I only need a little bit.
Do you think whipped cream or meringue makes you less manly?
I don't know. I don't know.
Where does that come
from? It's just too foofy. I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, we'll get
no whipped cream. I'm a man.
I just want to make it clear because the morning whipped cream doesn't make me less of a man. I don't know.
We'll can I have some of that crunchy peanut topping stuff?
Can you put it in a kitty cone for me, please? All right. Now that we've exposed some of my weird quirks and
I think we went from the cool. I think it's time to heat it up.
Yeah. Well, we went from cold to hot.
Yeah, let's get into a little discussion. Let's get into a little discussion here about hot sauce.
All right, sounds good. Whipped cream does not make you less of a man.
All right, we're on to our discussion on hot sauce. What Fred called a great debate, but more of a just discussion about hot sauce in general. So hot sauce dates back a long time. It goes back to really started in Mexico, Central America, South America. From everything I've read, over 6,000 years ago.
Yeah, a lot further back than I thought. And it makes you wonder, like, maybe it was hot sauce. People can't see it in air quotes. However, it was really being used. I got the impression it was more medicinal, kind of a cure-all. It probably goes back before then, but it's fascinating when you think about it, because you've got the ubiquitous hot sauces out there and you really don't think it has a history that long. It's like ketchup. You almost think of it like ketchup on the table, and it's a different beast altogether.
Right.
Pretty remarkable. Yeah.
Right. So it started in the, like 6,000 years ago, but then eventually when Spain and Portugal kind of invaded that area, within decades, it started going back to Europe, and then was transported to Asia and, you know, all the other cultures, just through, you know, because things were able to travel back
then. Spice trade. This is a perfect example.
Right.
The whole spice trade.
Right. Exactly. So then, I mean, nowadays we think of overnight shipping and Amazon and all that stuff.
Technically a trade.
Right. You can get things, I mean, immediately overnight.
No, but that actually, I'm glad you brought that up. It was really, you know, and those other things, like, you know, the finer goods, like things like silk, people, you know, the Silk Road of China that everybody talks about, gold and spices were considered currency, just like those things were. They were valuable. They were rare. You couldn't get them until you came across somebody who actually brought them back from wherever they came from. So they had a lot of value in trying to make use of those things. You kind of had to get clever. I mean, what do you do with a boatload of guajillo peppers?
Right.
you can't just eat them one by one. So what do we do? And, you know, I think that was the impetus, you know, with other cultures. Clearly, when you were talking about Central America, that was more like it was just part of their culture, part of their food culture, part of their religion, actually part of their discipline, apparently. And I read this fascinating little fact that they used to hold kids over a fire burning peppers to teach them a lesson, because it would like be like sort of like pepper spray.
Jeez. Then, well, that's like corporal punishment.
Tough times, man.
Right.
But I was like, ow, I'm kind of glad I was born in the 70s. I would want no part of that.
Now we're not even allowed to give them like a little spank on the butt.
No, things have changed. Can't hold your kid over open flames anymore.
Jeff. I know, that's bullshit. We should go back to those days.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I kind of got in the middle of what you were talking
about.
That's
all right. So in this country, in the United States, the first commercially produced hot sauces started appearing in the early 1800s. What I've read is 1807, and it started in Massachusetts, actually.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. Yes, if you're into the early history.
Oh, well, this it is.
But one of there's a few brands that, you know, started now that might be a little bit recognizable, but the most recognizable brand from those days is Tabasco. So yep. Tabasco sauce started in 1868.
Yep.
In this country, and obviously it's still very readily available.
I would argue it's the most popular, most recognized.
Most popular, according to this, it is the 13th best-selling hot sauce in the United States.
13th.
13th overall. Is
this current?
As of 2010. So
that's, you know, not a condiment, decade ago. It's just hot sauce.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I find that hard to believe.
And Frank's Red Hot was one spot in front of it in 12th place back in 2010.
Okay, 2010. Interesting.
Yeah. So Frank's is the first hot sauce that was used in Buffalo wings. The actual.
Right. That was the base, and it was just melted butter and Frank's. Am I right?
Yeah. That's it. So, you know, that's sort of the early history of, you know, where hot sauce came about, but can't really talk about hot sauce without talking about peppers, right?
That's the whole thing.
So hot sauce. So the only common ingredient in all of hot sauce,
peppers,
is chili peppers.
Because vinegar's not part.
Vinegar's
of,
not in all. Of them. Not all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, you know, and then some of them are salt, some of them are sugar, and then, you know, there's fruits and all kinds of other things.
Well, that's when you start playing around.
Yeah. So there's a million different ways to do it, to make sauces, to make any kind of sauce, but especially with hot sauce. But if we're talking about the bare bones, bare minimum hot sauce, in my mind, it's hot peppers, vinegar, maybe some sugar, and that's pretty much it.
Wait, a little bit of salt, maybe?
A little bit of salt. I always cook with salt. So.
Yeah, right?
Right.
But that, I mean, when you think about it, that is like uber simple. And yet there are, I think, at least 6 or 7 I can think of off the top of my head that's basically what they are.
Right.
There's been a little bit of like modernization, so they're more shelf stable, they travel better, but really that is like the core of it, those 4 ingredients, and they can taste wildly different.
But we've talked on the show a lot about all the different influences from other areas. So all of a sudden you take those basic ingredients and then they travel around the world. So it started off in South and Central America and Mexico, and then eventually made its way around the world. So now it's, you know, the Caribbean gets their hold on it. You know, you get it in Jamaica, and, you know, then it travels all the way over to the Asia, and, you know, the Chinese cultures and Japanese, you know, all that stuff. So they have their own different spin on it and all of that. So you get all these different cultural things that are still taking the same thing, but they make wildly different sauces from it.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. And then, you know, obviously different peppers are going to taste different from other peppers. Like jalapenos do not taste the same as like ancho. They don't taste the same as...
But they also don't taste the same grown in different areas either. The same peppers could be completely different.
Yeah, just like, you know, we talk about wine, you know, grapes that are like the same grape grown in 2 different parts of the world are going to taste totally different from each other,
right?
Even though they are the same grape. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes they're called different things in different areas, but they're the same.
Dialect makes it so tricky. Totally. Yeah.
Right. So talking about peppers, that brings me to the Scoville scale.
Yeah. This is kind of fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's sort of that whole rating on how hot a pepper is. And the scale is wild. It's like, it goes up to like 3 million plus heat units.
Yeah, it's like maybe stop at 100.
So I'm looking at the scale right now. Bell pepper, banana pepper, like the basic, that's 0 to 100.
Yeah.
And then banana peppers make their way on the next scale from 100 to 1,000.
To 1,000? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've had some hot banana peppers.
I guess. I haven't. Okay. Anyway, it's fascinating. Yeah.
And then, you know, it works its way up to habaneros, which go pretty between 100,000 and 350,000 Scoville heat units. And then you get to the point where, like, after that, what are we even doing here? But there's 350,000 to 750,000, the red Savina habaneros. and so on and so on. The ghost peppers, which
I was gonna have ghost pepper. Ghost peppers. Isn't ghost pepper the hottest?
No,
no. What's the hottest?
It's one scale below. So, the highest scale on the Scoville heat unit is law enforcement grade pepper spray. Pepper X, Carolina Reaper, and Dragon's Breath.
But excuse one more time. Did you say Pepper X? Like that's a real name for a
yes,
pepper?
Yes, it's literally on here as Pepper X.
Pepper X. And what, like Carolina? What?
Carolina Reaper and Dragon's Breath are the ones, and they go from 1.5 million to 3 million Scoville heat units.
No, you're in for an ass kicking when the term Reaper is used for a pepper, and Dragon's Breath is the other. Right. Yeah, I'm all set.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I've had habanero before, and those are really hot, and that's like fourth on the scale there. I mean, ghost peppers, I've never, I don't want to eat a raw ghost pepper, but.
God, no. Well, can you? Wouldn't that just burn? Doesn't it blister your mouth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my father, we've talked about him on the show before. Yeah. He's got a green thumb and grows all kinds of things. He grew habanero peppers 1 year and did not, he loves spice, just like me. I mean, I got that from him. You know, we eat spice all the time. And he was growing habanero peppers and took a whole pepper, didn't realize how hot a habanero was. Raw, right off the plant. And just
with the seeds,
the whole thing, just ate the whole thing. And you know, he told me he thought he was having a stroke.
Yeah, right.
He said he drank like three beers in a row, just like pounded down and just was sweating and, you know, sneezing. And it took like a full day to recover from eating that habanero pepper.
You know, I've got a tie into that. My wife, who's a great cook. We were on a nachos kick years ago, like really good nachos, and we were really focusing on it. And she went to the farmer's market that day and she got some peppers. She's like, I like spicy, but you know, nothing too hot. And the guy's like, oh, if you like spicy, we'll just do this, and threw a bunch of peppers in there. She made this beautiful tray, came home. This is when, you know, I was still working at the market, and I sat down. I'm like, oh my God, this looks amazing. I was starving, didn't eat all day, because you know how that is. You're on your feet and all of a sudden it's 9 o'clock at night and you're like, I haven't eaten. Got home, I was starving. Open the bottle of wine and we're gonna sit there and watch a movie or whatever, I don't know. I took a scoop, put it into my mouth, and I jumped up and ran right into the bathroom and started washing my face. I couldn't stop hiccuping, and she's looking at me like, what's wrong? I'm like, this is the fucking hottest thing I've ever put in my mouth. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, these are habaneros, and they still have the seeds and everything. Lit me up, and the middle of my bottom lip was like numb. Like I smacked, like somebody like dropped a hammer on it, and like my tongue, I could feel spots that were like dead for like a week. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't taste. What's going on? I was drinking coffee the next day and it just felt like this weird stuff rushing over my tongue. I couldn't taste it. So I literally feel your dad's pain, because that is no way to experience an habanero pepper. That's the worst way to do it.
So that's
we learned our lesson. We say hot, we qualify it. We are right about qualifying it.
But that's a good breaking off point to, what do you do if you eat something too hot? You know, like what's your method? What's your remedy? What do you?
When
like,
it's that hot, nothing really seemed to help that a ton. But milk was kind of
milk's kind of the go to for most people.
I was actually going to ask you that very question. That's the only one that I know works really well. I mean, you know, ice cold water feels good, but it doesn't really help the situation.
No, I think it actually makes it worse.
I've heard it's supposed to make it worse.
Yeah, I mean, any kind of dairy, like if you can eat ice cream, that's going back to our top three.
If I can eat ice cream, I'll try to choke it down the next time if that's necessary.
If you happen to have ice cream readily available while your mouth is burning from a hot pepper. Because I feel like the sugar and the dairy kind of work together and kind of.
Yeah, isn't sugar supposed to help with it for some reason?
Yeah.
I figured you would know better than me. All I know is dairy seemed to help a little bit.
Right.
But I was probably so freaked out that probably nothing would have helped me at that moment. But yeah, I use dairy. I will tell you, the one thing you don't want to do is try drinking a Coke.
No.
Carbonation made it, I swear, like 6,000 times worse. It was not a good idea. So don't do that, folks.
Or the three carbonate. Beers. Or the cool. Three beers my father pounded when he was...
Well, you know what? It maybe got enough of a buzz that didn't hurt as bad.
Right, yeah, maybe.
Like, but back in the old days when you got shot or stabbed, you'd drink a ton of whiskey.
Right.
You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. Yep. Drink this whiskey, bite on the stick, you'll be all right.
Right. So, well, that's amazing. I had no idea. What did you say? The limit was 3 million?
3 million. 3 million
So we go
solo
from zero to
details.
100 to 3 million.
Yeah, 100.
It
Yeah,
is.
1.5 million to 3 million
I
is.
feel like that's got to be worked on a little bit, but I feel like that could be different. Anyway,
Yeah, yep,
that's a whole
yep.
other thing. Scoville was a maniac, apparently.
Yes. So it does go back to somebody, obviously, named Scoville as the last name of the guy.
Named after the scientist, or
Yeah, the
was he a
scientist.
scientist? He was, or I think he, but he studied agriculture. I forget, right? It's like his first name was William or something. Wait, Wilbur.
Wilbur
Wilbur.
Scoville.
Yeah. And
And
that's the so the scale's named after Wilbur Scoville. I can't speak. Wilbur Scoville.
yes. In 1912 was when the method came out originally. But
Now, in my mind, the 5-year-old inside me wants to picture a bunch of scientists in lab coats sitting around taking tiny bites of peppers and
1.2
deciding how hot they were.
million.
Straight face, very clinical.
Right.
Yeah, they were clearly they well, they were basically measuring the capsaicin and the acid together. Wasn't that where they came up with the heat quotient for that?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Some scientific nerd
Yeah.
thing that I don't understand.
Right, yeah. So there's that. If you want food science, go elsewhere. That's
Right,
about as far as we can go.
right.
If you
Yeah,
want
you gotta get
hardcore chemistry, I'm sure there's a podcast for that.
or a nice book. You can get the Food and Cooking is a great resource for those kind of things.
On Food and Cooking.
On
Okay.
Food and Cooking by Harold McGee.
Harold McGee.
Yeah, yep.
He tells us all. Harold McGee fills us in about Wilbur Scoville.
But he gets into all the chemical breakdown and molecular structure and all that kind of stuff of what's happening in all the cooking processes throughout, whether it's baking or cooking or whatever, ceviche, all that stuff. So
That's a good tip right
yeah,
there.
pretty fascinating book if you can understand that stuff. Unfortunately, I'm not smart enough to understand most of that stuff, so
Chemistry wasn't exactly my strongest subject
yeah, I
either.
never even took it, so
Well, there you go. But you know how to apply it.
Sure. I just don't know
Okay.
what's happening, but that's but
Well, you know, I
anyway,
think
back to hot sauce.
back to hot sauce. So if you might, I want to interject, but the reason I wanted to. This like my idea, like it's a really original idea, but you know, Chef and I talk all the time. It's like, well, what do you want to explore? What's interesting? You know, like what do you see all the time that's common that maybe really people haven't talked about a lot? And it seems dumb for me to say that because hot sauce is everywhere now. You know, it's like it's I would liken it to like when the microbrews, there were like four or five choices. Now
Right.
that's all there is,
Right.
essentially. And microbrew is not even using them, it's craft beer. But you know, there was Sam Adams, there was Anchor Steam, there was Smutty Nose, Allagash. There weren't that many, and now there's like thousands. And hot sauce has gone down that same road. And you know, I would argue that it's become even more popular. And I think there's a YouTube channel, I'm forgetting the name of it, and he basically has guests on and has them eat a chicken wing, and we go from like zero to 100. I don't think they get the 3
All the way
million.
up
I
to
hope
3
they
million
don't.
plus.
But and then he asks some questions, and you can see them sweating and trying to tolerate the heat, and you get to everybody's breaking point. But I wanted to talk about it because it's like there's a lot of different options out there. We all know the classics, and I thought it was a subject that would be fun to explore because it's something a lot of us use and maybe don't even think about. And you heard me use the reference ketchup. I mean, condiments in general would go in that direction, but hot sauce can really change food quite a bit and for the better. And I liken the way I like to use it. I kind of liken it to seasoning because that's really what it is, but I think of it like salt.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because there's an acid component to it, which I'm a big fan of. So if it's something like I love it on like soft or you know like over easy fried eggs, so you get that soft runny yolk, and you put a hot sauce on there, and it just brings it to life because it can almost that flavor profile can almost be one dimensional a little bit. And if you're like me, when you're barely awake in the morning and you're drinking a ton of coffee, the coffee can kind of get in the way of that. Put the hot sauce on there, and it really brings it to life.
Yeah, I
You know, so
tend to
that I mean,
go.
that's an example, but that's why I
Sure.
wanted to talk about it too. How do you use it? Why do you use it? How hot do you like it? It's nice to sweat a little bit, maybe, but I also don't want it to take over the food. So that's kind of what, you know, really was the impetus behind it.
Right. I tend to, I mean, it depends what food I'm eating and what food I'm
Right, of
cooking too.
course. Yeah.
So, like with eggs, for some reason, I like to go sriracha.
Ah, so, yeah.
You know, just for some reason, I don't know if it's because it squirts out nicely and it's a little thicker and you can kind of, make a nice little design on the, I don't know exactly what it is, but whenever I think of eggs in the morning, I have probably four or five different hot sauces in my fridge. And I always go sriracha.
Okay, well, you know what? Before we breeze over that, this is not necessarily favorites, but your go-tos. Well, you got sriracha. What else do you have in there?
I got Frank's Red Hot.
Of course, yeah, Frank's. Me
Yeah,
too.
but I actually have, so it's a little tricky with me because I have no one else really eats spice. They like spicy food, but not the way that I like spicy food.
So those are
So we have to
really.
go, I have to go mild on everything, and mild for my daughters is just hot enough where it's like it's got a
You can
little
barely
spice to
know that
it.
it's there. Yeah.
Right. But their feeble palates can only handle so much.
They're trying. They're coming along, the
Oh, they are.
kids.
It's great.
They're coming
It's actually
along.
getting better and better. But so I have like the Frank's buffalo sauce, their buffalo hot sauce,
It's a good one though. I
but
like that one.
the mild version, which for me, I would probably go the hot. But if we're sharing something, anytime I cook, I'm cooking for more than just myself, obviously. I'm mostly cooking for just them, and then I get to nibble on whatever they don't eat. But so I have the Franks, and then I have a different variety of a bunch of different Asian sauces that, like the garlic chili paste. So sort of splitting hairs a little bit, but when you get hot
It's
sauce,
still kind of a sauce. You're not
yeah, so
shaking it
I
out, you're spooning it, but it's still, to me, that's in the same vein. It's close
right
enough.
right so I when I'm cooking any kind of Asian food at all, I tend to put that in. But that's one of those things that those are spicy. They have a good heat to them.
Those are not shy.
So if I'm making something, if I'm making noodles and broth or something like that,
Stir fries is something you could put more in there.
I won't put it in at all. I'll serve everybody else in my house, and then I'll put
You
a
just
big
do
tablespoon
not.
of that in mine, mix it in, and so that's kind of where I go with that. But my favorite is I make my own, and I pickle Fresno peppers with white wine vinegar and sugar, and then puree that.
All together, right?
Yep, puree it all together. Yeah, and then it's more of that chunky, not a salsa, because it's a little looser than a salsa, but it's not like Tabasco where it's liquid.
It's not like, yeah, full on watery kind of. Well, watery is not fair, but yeah, I got you.
So that's kind of the, if I'm making pizza or something like that, putting the pickled Fresno peppers on top. But
No, that's
again, it's
pretty
like
good.
if I'm making Italian food, I'm trying to like use Italian style hot sauce. If I'm making,
Well,
Asian food, then I go that way. If I'm
well,
making,
yeah, well, because those flavor profiles tend to match a little bit. I mean, you can certainly kind of, bob and weave and kind of try this over here and
I mean,
try
you can
that.
put sriracha on anything, really.
You know what? You really can. I got sriracha. We've got sriracha in the fridge pretty much always. We've got the collection of Tabasco, and my wife likes the regular a lot. I like it, but I like the chipotle because I'm a big fan of smoke.
You like that smokiness. Yeah, that goes
Yeah.
back to that mezcal.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a thing for it. And I love that on my eggs, especially scrambled eggs. I have scrambled eggs. That's dynamite. And then of course Frank's and Texas Pete, the Buffalo.
Texas Pete,
I don't
yeah.
think we have any Texas Pete right now, but that's one of our favorites. But
Exactly.
Frank's, I think you can, Frank's, I would argue, is the one hot sauce you can put on everything. You can literally put it on everything.
Yeah, I
It'll
don't
work. It won't
disagree with that.
compete. It'll enhance it. Like you could take that from Asian to like, you know what I like when I make tuna salad? Put a ton of Frank's on it.
Oh yeah.
That's the only way I can have my tuna salad now. It's just really good. But I have a recent discovery. A coworker of mine said, you have to get this. And it's a hot sauce called Forelli. It's
Okay.
got porcini mushrooms, roasted red bell peppers, which you know my feelings on that, but it works. And then I forget the blend of red peppers right now, but the whole idea when they made that was it's kind of meant for pizza. It clearly works on pasta and things like that, but it's
Right.
funny, the mushroom they use in it, you don't really taste them, but you know they're there. That has that umami
Right,
kind of
right.
thing. It's almost like if Italy made a soy sauce, that's kind of what it would taste like. It's more nutty than that. But then you get spice from it, and it kind of falls into the sriracha thing. Like sriracha is hot. I don't find it to be that hot.
No, it's got
You
a
know what I
more of
mean?
a
You could
like
use too
sweet
much.
balance to it.
Yeah, and this is really similar to it. It's dynamite. And it's not an advertisement for it. I'm just kind of falling in love with it because it's different. So that I can take in a different direction. Like, so if I want pasta and I haven't put a, you know, pepperoncini in there, or pepperoncino flakes, I should say, you know, I like mixing that in. It's really good. And it's damn good on pizza. But then I did burgers the other week. We got a griddle not that long ago, and it worked really well on that. It just gave it a different, just a totally different lift. It wasn't just hot. It had more depth to it, and I loved it. Yeah.
Is it calabrese? Is it
Southern? I know Italian? Calabrese peppers are in there, and I'm forgetting what the other ones are. So,
no, anyway, calabrese. Where it's actually made, like where?
No, it's Bologna. I believe it's, is it Modena or Bologna? Give me 1 second. I'll get back to you on that one. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I forget.
Oh, so it's central, because typically.
Right, Italian exactly. Cuisine, it's typically,
you know,
the further
south you get, the just like in the United States. I mean, the further south you get, the more.
I apologize. It is Parma. I was incorrect.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, still, I was close when I said Modena. It was close. Yeah.
Still central Italy though, which is kind of fairly rare for that kind of spice and stuff.
It goes back to my argument. If you're a really good individual, you get to die and come back as a Bolognese. Meaning the people, not the ragu. But give it a try if you haven't had it, and that goes for everybody. It's dynamite. Again, we don't get paid a cent from them. It's delicious.
No, not at all.
But I think we just kind of covered the gamut. And you know, I would also, before I forget, I love the Tabasco jalapeno, the green one.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
how bright and fresh it is. And again, like you said, that's kind of for specific things, but it works really well. Like seafood, it's good with, especially shrimp, things like that. It's nice.
I remember, growing up, I didn't maybe like spice nearly. I mean, definitely didn't like it nearly as much as I did. My older brother, and my dad were into it growing up, but I just never. I don't know, for some reason, I just, you know, I didn't have that taste yet. But I remember going when I got into college, when I went to the Culinary Institute of America. Carlo, one of our former guests yep. on the show, he had gotten one of those sample things, and you just reminded me of it. The sample. You know, with all the little like 2 ounce bottles, and there's, you know, all the different flavors and everything. Yeah. And we went on like a 1 week bender of Tabasco, just literally put it in everything.
Was it all Tabasco?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just the
Tabasco line. Okay.
Tabasco gotcha. Lineup, like everything they had yeah. just in those small bottles. And we just put it on everything. It was like, oh, try this one on there. Have your pizza, have your eggs, have your whatever.
Yeah. I have a question. So when you're trying a hot sauce for the first time, is there one vehicle you like to use? Like, this is my base. This is my litmus paper for the hot sauce.
A lot of times I'll just put it right out of my hand and try.
I do that too. Yeah. My favorite though is just on a tortilla chip.
Yeah. Tortilla chips. I mean, that's the way
it's like the best, to me, it's the best base of the foundation to start from.
Right. Cause it's got that little crunch and little saltiness. So it's, you know, that's all you need.
So yeah, I feel like you can really get an idea what it's like.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But I tend to just like dump it on whatever I'm making and then try it out from there.
Shot glass.
Yeah. If I'm not sneezing and, you know, and crying, then and I haven't done my job right. But yes, I'm a big fan of hot sauce. I don't necessarily venture too far outside of the few that we've talked about, not because I don't want to try or if they're there, I'll try them. And if they're not, then I'll try whatever I know, you know?
Yeah. You know, like if I'm at a, like, typically it's more like a really good taco stand or taco truck or places like that. They'll have a few different ones. You can try those. And I'll do it. Sometimes they make their own.
Yeah, anytime
it's kind of fun to play around and see how it changes it.
Anytime you go to a Mexican restaurant that makes their own hot sauce,
that's the way
it's at. Oh yeah, absolutely.
But it's usually pretty damn hot.
Yes, it is. I remember when I worked in Texas, I was in Dallas for a short time, about 6 months or so, and all my cooks were from Mexico, and we would, you know, whatever they made for family meal, it was typically something in tortillas and whatever. But I remember they would just have jalapeno peppers. They would take a bite of their taco and then a bite of a jalapeno, just a fresh jalapeno. And they would just go back and forth, eat their taco or eat their tortilla, whatever it is, have a bite of jalapeno and just go back. And I remember seeing that for the first time.
I don't know if I like them that much.
Yeah. Wow. You know, but they can also, I mean, and maybe that Scoville scale makes sense, because you can have a jalapeno that if it's roasted, I can eat the whole thing and be fine.
Nothing, right?
And then there's other times where I'm, you know,
take a bite and it lights you up.
Yes.
Yeah, just lights you up.
Yes.
Yeah. I hate it when that happens.
Right.
You never see it coming. Well, isn't the same thing with shishito peppers?
Oh, well, shishito peppers, one in every 10 or so
Right.
are spicy, but probably as spicy as, a medium jalapeno.
Not that hot, but it's, I'm always the
But
guy
if
who grabs that one because I'm not, and I'm not expecting, I'm like, God damn, I got the hot one again. It kind of throws me off and everything.
I always hope for the hot one, and it's always other people at the table. Gracie, my younger daughter, always gets the hot shishito. She's like,
Wait,
I got it again.
right? You're just grilling them up, like blistering them, right?
Oh
Like,
yeah, or roasting them in the oven with a little bit of salt and olive oil, and
yeah.
that's it. Just until they start to get a little crunch, and they're great in some kind of a, aioli or anything like that.
No kidding. Yeah. Well, we've talked about hot sauce. When you're looking at the plate, what's a good thing to balance it out with? Because you just mentioned aioli, which I think is great. Like putting hot sauce, and I'm dumbing your explanation down. Hot sauce in mayonnaise is a great way to kind of change both of them quite a bit, and you don't really overpower. You don't have too much spice. Get a little bit of it, but you've kind of heightened the, the experience with the experience, the flavor profile of the mayonnaise.
Well,
Kind of brought more life to it.
I think another great example of that is sour cream. I mean, that's why you see sour cream with a lot of those,
Yeah.
in nachos
Yeah.
and things like that. Again, it's that
Cool your
dairy,
jets.
that different temperature as well. When you have hot, I always like to balance out heat versus cool as far as not spice, but the actual temperature. So I love to have that, big dollop of sour cream on there and kind of work your way through that. And if you get a really hot pepper, you have a really big bite with the sour cream in the
You're all
next one.
set. Well, cheese is a great component for it, clearly. It helps with that. Yeah.
I mean, we're basically just eating nachos
I was going somewhere, but yeah, we cut to the chase. Nachos, I think, are the best way to experience hot sauce. And there's like hot salsas, but we're talking, this stuff that's a little more concentrated, the Tabascos of the world, or Texas Pete, or Frank's, and so on. But I can't have nachos without some kind of hot sauce.
No, of
And
course not.
I use
But
sriracha more
then,
than the others when I do that. I like that garlic sweetness that it has, I guess. I don't know.
yeah, I typically go with like I'm not gonna remember the brand names, but like they're made in Mexico. They have a little like wooden top on them.
Oh, yeah. It begins with a C. I know which one you're talking
Something.
about.
Again, there's
There's so many.
we're not getting advertising dollars or anything like that, so we don't have to actually do the brand name, but I tend to go with those on nachos rather than the thicker sriracha. But any of those chili paste kind of things always end up in my noodles and broth in the Asian style.
Yeah.
So, I tend to go more of a watery
I see you're trying.
kind,
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
in the Mexican or South American style cuisine, I tend to go more watery side, and then if I'm going more Asian, it's more of
I
the
got you. Yeah.
thicker. For whatever reason, I don't know. It's one of those things I haven't even thought of until we're having this discussion. I'm like, oh, I
Right.
guess I do that.
Your favorite thing to put hot sauce on. Doesn't matter what the hot sauce is, but your favorite thing.
Well, I mean, I think it's the like ramen noodles, Asian noodles. When you have the broth in there and like a soft cook egg, and all the vegetables and the noodles
Kind of
and
needs
everything
it.
in that.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of like mix it in, and the egg yolk breaks open, and it's just every bite is like, making you want the next bite.
Well, and how bad is ramen anyway, right? It's pretty good on its own. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going back to the egg thing, but like the breakfast sandwich with hot
Sure.
sauce. So for me, the sausage is good, but it's bacon, it's cheese, it's the over easy egg, gets all runny. Nice dollop of hot sauce, and they're probably Frank's in the morning. Maybe the Chipotle Tabasco, but that's my favorite.
All right.
But I
Well,
use hot sauce a lot more often than that.
so we need to have our listeners chime in. I'm sure we've missed a lot
There's
of
got to be
people's.
opinions. I'm sure we've upset somebody by not mentioning this or that. We
Yeah,
haven't
well,
even
that's what I
talked
want to
about
hear.
buffalo.
So everybody should write in. Whether it's through, if you go to culinaryroad.com, you can message us through there or through social media, and let us know what your favorite hot sauces are, what your favorite things to put them on are, and we love to hear feedback. So definitely start the great hot sauce debate.
Yeah, Chef and I fought about what a sandwich should be episodes ago, so we decided not to fight this time. It could happen that there might be a hot sauce part two debate. So not a debate, but we wanted to open the floor to debate. So
Perfect.
you know what? I am going to offer up my favorite out of the whole bunch, and maybe it's because it's new, but at the Forelli, totally digging it.
Yeah.
It's kind of, but it's new kid on the block. So come back to me in 6 months, but it's fantastic.
Yeah. You got that recency bias on there for
a
sure.
Little bit. And I'll
try it out. I'll definitely give it a whirl and see
your go-to. If you had to pick one,
I think probably Frank's.
Yep. That's my, yeah, that was my number one
on everything. I mean, Sriracha's right up there too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. That's not much of a debate. That was pretty easy.
Nope. I'm sure we missed plenty, so hopefully
so many.
People write in and let us know what you think. But I guess that wraps up our discussion on hot sauce this week, Fred. What do you think?
That was a hot topic. I loved it.
Hot topic. Oh, on that note, let's wrap it up.
Let's end on that terrible joke.
All right, we're on to the wrap up. That was our discussion about hot sauce and all the different ways that we love to eat it. We're going to talk a little bit about how to make it right now.
Yeah. So this is Ask a pro tip. Since you're the pro in the kitchen, and you mentioned it a little bit, but walk people through. So if they want to try this at home, a good basic hot sauce recipe, and they can take it in any direction they want once they've got this fine tuned. But, you know, what's your go-to? And you mentioned it a little bit, but let's talk about peppers. You mentioned vinegar. Basically pickling. So help us out here a little bit, because I've never tried making it, and I should. Right. We pickle a lot, so it's just like the next step.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm certainly no hot sauce expert, so anybody, that's my disclaimer, anybody who is a hot sauce expert,
get
that's
all hot-headed
show, yes. But I've always made these, and you actually remember, you probably remember them from back in the Tommaso days. I used to make pickled Fresno peppers that we put on top of the soppressata pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So basically, I would take Fresno peppers, which, think about the Chili's logo. You know, that it looks like a jalapeno, yeah, but red.
It kind of looks just like that, doesn't it?
Right. So that's a Fresno pepper. And just slice them up. And I do so typically when I'm pickling, you do a 3-to-1 ratio of vinegar to sugar. So 3 parts vinegar to 1 part sugar.
Got it.
Now, what I'm doing in this case, we're talking about this sort of pickled Fresno pepper paste that we're pretending is a hot sauce, which it is. I mean, it's there's a billion different ways to make them. So
yes, sauce can be liquid or it can be a little more like,
right. More of a salsa maybe, or like a salsa rosa kind of thing. But anyway, so with this, because the peppers are so hot, I go a 2-to-1 vinegar to sugar ratio. So there's more sugar, and that's going to help balance out some of the heat from those peppers.
Okay.
So when I make my pickling liquid, so I have my peppers. If you have gloves when you're cutting peppers,
good idea. Yep.
Wear your gloves. And if you don't wear gloves, wash your hands really well after, specifically before you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, good idea.
Make sure you only make that mistake once.
Yeah, and never, ever, ever touch your face when you're cutting peppers until you've washed your hands. No matter how bad you want to, don't do it.
Right. So what I'll do is take, like I said, a 2-to-1 ratio. I typically use white wine vinegar.
Okay.
Not distilled white vinegar, but white wine vinegar. So it has more of a tan kind of color to it as opposed to a clear, you know, distilled vinegar.
And also pretty easy to find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so again, a 2-to-1 ratio. So I always cook in the mindset of ratios as opposed to like 2 cups in 1 cup. It's 2 parts to 1 part, because it depends on how many peppers you're pickling. So sort of use the eyeball test. You need to have enough liquid to cover the amount of peppers that you're pickling.
Yeah. So if you pour 2 cups in there, then you just change the ratio, like 2 cups of water. Then you want to do 1 part sugar. You said two to one, I'm sorry.
2-to-1 vinegar to sugar. Yep.
Yeah. So vinegar. So then once you've covered it, you just want to add the correct amount of sugar in. So you might be using 1 cup, you might be using 3, but you get the drift.
But the key is, when you make your pickling liquid, it's not just vinegar and sugar. So what you do is have a small sauce pot, and you're going to have your vinegar and sugar 2-to-1 ratio, because you got the peppers in there, so they're hot. Mm-hmm. 2-to-1 ratio, but then I add things like peppercorns and juniper berry and bay leaves, you know, sort of those aromatic spices that are going to add a little more depth of flavor. And you can really add whatever you want at that point. I mean, it can be anything, you know, any kind of flavor profile if you want, like star anise or, you know, any of those kind of pickling spices, add those in at that point, even like mustard seeds and things like that. But add them in at that point, bring that liquid up to a boil. And then, you know, so the sugar dissolves and all those flavors kind of do their thing. And then strain that out so that all of those, you're not picking out all the little bits of black peppercorns and, you know.
You don't want a big old bite of juniper berry. It can hit you a little sideways.
So what I do is I have that sauce pot, I'll strain it out into another container. So now I have just my infused, you know, my spice infused vinegar and sugar mixture. I'll put the peppers in that original pot, dump that liquid over the top, and I just bring it up to a little bit of a simmer. So this is a hot pickling method,
Got it.
as opposed to, you know, doing it slow and low in the refrigerator for, you know, a couple of weeks. These can be pickled in an hour, and you know, as soon as they're cooled, they're good to go. So just bring it up to a simmer till the peppers start to get a little bit tender. You don't want them to be so much so that they're starting to fall apart and all you have is the pepper skins, but you want to cook out some of that raw pepper flavor in there, that starchiness or that extra heat that's going to be in the peppers. You want that to kind of go into your braise or into your pickling liquid. And then from there, so I usually have these rings of pickled Fresno peppers. I typically keep them like that. And then, you know, I'll use them for pizza toppings or put them in, you know, we did them with fried calamari or whatever. But if we're talking about making the hot sauce, just puree that all up with enough of the pickling liquid so that, I mean, you can make it as loose or as tight as you want. You know, it can be really thick if you strain out most of the pickling liquid, or it can be a little more runny and just, you know, just run it with all of that liquid in there. Same kind of idea we've talked about having when we're braising, where the liquid comes up to the shoulders. We've talked about that on here before, right? So
I think so.
when you have enough liquid to cover, you know, just not swimming in it, not completely over the top of its head, but just to its shoulders. So there's a little bit kind of peeking out the top, but enough liquid to kind of saturate everything. And again, just bring that up to a simmer. And then, you know, if you want to add all of that liquid into your puree, then you got, you know, a little bit more of that runnier style of hot sauce. And if you like it a little chunkier, strain out some of that pickling liquid.
I remember those peppers. We used to sell them out of the fridge because people were so crazy for them. We used to sell like quarts and half quarts. I mean, you couldn't make enough, but man, it elevated the pizza. It was so good. I used to eat those things like candy. I remember I had actually forgotten about them until you started talking about it. So you walked us through this recipe. But before I go off on a tangent, basically from beginning to end, how long does that take to
I
kind
would
of
say, I mean, the thing that's going to take the longest amount of time is actually cutting the peppers.
That's a big part of the process, right? It takes some
And if you're going to puree it all anyway, you can just chop them in half lengthwise. Just cut the
Yeah, you
stem
don't have to
off,
be
chop them in
with
half.
them. It's not a
You don't have to
garnish.
do them in rings. You might have to cook them a little bit longer in the vinegar, but it's going to be less time. But I'd say all in, depending on the batch size you're making, 15, 20 minutes. I mean, it's not a big
Come
process.
on, right?
And they'll last basically indefinitely.
Yeah, because you pickled it.
I mean, that's the whole point of pickling is a preservation method. So you're preserving the peppers in there.
Then all you need is a bunch of tortilla chips, your favorite cheese. I keep bringing it back to nachos, and just dump that right over it. It's going to be dynamite.
Right.
Again,
So,
you can put that on anything. We talked
well,
about.
the reason I turned it into a hot sauce was for our Bloody Marys.
Oh, good call.
Right? I mean, we didn't even talk about that in our discussion about hot sauce,
Well,
but
we can touch on it briefly.
I
So
mean,
okay, I've got real strong opinions on it, and we'll save that for another show. I do not like horseradish in my Bloody Mary. I don't want it anywhere near it.
well, you're wrong, but that's fine.
Okay, I know. I'll explain why. I'll explain why. I don't like nasal hot. That does not do anything for me. I like horseradish a little bit on its own,
But
but I
any
don't like it.
again,
It's a cocktail sauce to me. I don't
anything
want
in
that.
excess, is not going to be good. So if you're drinking a Bloody Mary that's giving you that horseradish, nasally kind of thing, then there's too much in there.
No,
And
agreed.
having that right little blend of it, you know, just enough where you can taste it, but not feel it, that's where you need to be at.
I don't know.
But the key ingredient to any Bloody Mary is celery salt.
I thank you. 100% correct. I always put celery salt in mine.
I do the celery salt.
Have Bloody Mary off, and this we're way off topic.
But yeah, not even close to where
we're. Not, well, it can be hot, so maybe we're kind of closer.
Sure.
But you put this hot sauce in your Bloody Mary.
In the Bloody Mary, you could put that's a little like teaspoon of it in there, shake it up. That's the good life.
You have to have some. In my opinion, the Bloody Mary's got to have some heat. Yeah,
but apparently not horseradish heat.
No, go screw yourself, horseradish. I'm kidding. I'm just, to me, it reminds me too much of cocktail sauce. That'll be another show, another time. I like that. That's a great tip. So there you go, folks. You can make your own hot sauce, and it's not terribly complicated. And like he said, the hardest part was, or the most laborious part, is cutting the little rings. If you're not going to garnish with it, then don't. Just, you know, just it may take a little bit longer.
Just expose the seeds and whatever, but. You know, get rid of the stems and, you know, cut them in half lengthwise.
There you go. So you don't even have to be that careful. Just don't cut off your thumbs and make sure, for the love of God, wash your hands and don't touch your face or any part of your body until you've done so, because you'll regret it.
Thoroughly
regret it. Well,
all right. So that's our Ask a Pro for the week. Yeah. And again, if you have any of your hot sauce tips or your brands that you love and all that kind of stuff, definitely reach out to us on Instagram at culinary.rd, Culinary Road. Fred is at FMIV, and I am at Chef Melnick. As always, you can visit Fred's YouTube channel, Until Next Wine with Fred Mullins. Definitely visit the website, culinaryroad.com, culinaryrd.com. You'll be able to see not only link directly to all of our episodes and, you know, the podcast itself, but you'll also be able to see the other things that Culinary Road is doing as far as, you know, the travel portion, you know, of Culinary Road, the cooking classes, you know, virtual wine classes, all those kind of things will be on culinaryroad.com. So make sure you do check that out. And as always, wherever you're following us, wherever you're listening, make sure you are rating, subscribing, following, sharing. Got to spread the word. Got to get some more people listening to us. Otherwise, it's just Fred and me talking to ourselves.
And we're getting real tired of talking. No, we're not. But yeah, if you like it, please share it, because that's how this thing grows. Thank you.
All right, Fred, anything else to add before we wrap it up here?
No, that's it. But Bloody Mary show's coming up.
Bloody Mary show coming up. All right, we'll do that next week, maybe.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Thanks, Fred. We'll see you.